The Vietnamese novelist and dissident, Xiang Tu Wang, has a new book. It's called No Man's Land. It's a story of love and loss in post-war Vietnam. NPR's Michael Sullivan spoke with the author in Hanoi.
The elegant woman in a white pantsuit in the lobby of the Hanoi Hilton doesn't look like an enemy of the state. But she is. The government has banned her books, jailed her for a time, and threatened her with worse, she says. But she refuses to accept exile.
I stay here to be a thorn in their side, because if there is no such thorn, they have too easy a time. My only weapon against this government is my utmost scorn, and I spit in their faces. It's that simple.
Hers is a view not often heard in this one-party communist nation, where the vast majority are careful not to say anything in front of a microphone, much less anything critical. But the 58-year-old Xiang Tu Huang is unstinting in her criticism of the government here, stridently and perhaps unfairly so. She refuses to acknowledge any of the government's achievements in the past 30 years. The tremendous progress made toward eradicating poverty, its ambitious efforts at economic modernization in a country whose infrastructure was badly damaged by the war. None of this, she says, warrants even the slightest nod in the party's direction.
Why should I give them credit for anything? They praise themselves all the time in the media. They cheat people into believing they are doing good things. And they trumpet their victory during the war as proof of their achievements in order to fool the people. Why should I say anything good about them?
The war and the emotional scars left by it are major themes in Xiang Tu Huang's work, and her latest novel, No Man's Land, is no exception. It's the story of a man and woman happily married in post-war Vietnam, but their happiness is abruptly shattered by the arrival of the woman's first husband, a North Vietnamese soldier long given up for dead. Social pressures ensure all involved suffer. The book is more personal, less overtly political than much of her earlier work, but politics is never far away. The soldier Bon, for example, returns home a broken man, weakened by years of war and the effects of the chemical defoliant Agent Orange.
He is a metaphor for the Vietnamese. He represents a whole generation, our entire population, that went to war, that sacrificed and became important, both mentally and physically.
During the war, Xiang Tu Huang embraced the struggle against the U.S.-backed South, joining an artistic troupe that entertained Northern soldiers at the front. She remembers the incessant shelling and bombing from U.S. planes, but she quickly became disillusioned with the war and the Communist Party.
People like me were cheated. We thought we were fighting for our country, but it was just a Cold War battle. A violent collision between two competing ideologies. And the Vietnamese people were caught in the meat grinder of the war. I don't know which side is more responsible, but definitely both sides have to share the blame.
She joined the party nonetheless, to work from within, she says, to make people's lives better. And she wrote, in the mid-1980s, during a brief period of openness in Vietnam, her novels Paradise of the Blind and Beyond Illusion became bestsellers here. Both were highly critical of government mismanagement and corruption, and in 1987, conservatives in government got them banned. In 1990, the government grew tired of her incessant criticism, and she was expelled from the party. 15 years later, she is unrepentant and unforgiving of both the government and her fellow Vietnamese.
This government has only two pillars to rely on. The first is the stupidity of the people, and the second is the cowardice of the people. If the people were less stupid and less cowardly, the government would have collapsed a long time ago.
Though she speaks contemptuously of her people, her love for them comes through in the characters of her books, especially in the most recent work, No Man's Land. Many of the characters are enormously sympathetic and possess tremendous dignity. She sees no contradiction here, nor does she see one in her people's acceptance of what she calls a repressive, corrupt regime.
There are two obsessions that Vietnam has had historically. The first is poverty, hunger, and the second is slavery. The Chinese dominated us for more than 1,000 years. Then the French ruled us for about 100 years. Most of our inner energy was consumed trying to keep our independence and keep our stomachs full. There was no time for anything else.
In this context, she says, it's easier to understand why the people don't demand more political freedom from the government.
Thảm cảnh ở những nước châu Á là khi con người ta đã trải qua một giai đoạn sống khổ như súc vật.
This is the plight of Asian countries. That plight is when people have lived through bad lives like animals. They will be willing to accept lives that are just a little better. I stay here instead of going into exile to try to make young people understand there are places where people have more freedom. And life is about freedom, not just food. People must have freedom, otherwise they are no more than well-fed cattle.
She is widely admired and popular in the West, especially in France. And it's this visibility, she says, that helps keep her out of jail for speaking her mind. But fewer people here listen than she would like. Some find her too strident, others worry about the political repercussions. But the reality is that the vast majority are simply too busy getting on with their lives. Xiongtu Huang freely admits that most of her books are what she calls miserable, but she says that's because her people's fate has been miserable. Her new novel, No Man's Land, is different. Though dark, there is hope at the end. An inadvertent admission on her part, perhaps, that the government may deserve some credit after all. Michael Sullivan, NPR News, Hanoi.
We also have a reading from Xiongtu Huang's No Man's Land.
On autumn mornings, the valley began to bloom with tiny, dark green flowers, as fine as dawn mist. They were probably the most ephemeral of flowers, since their lifespan was only a few hours. Around 7 or 7:30, as the warmth of the sun dried the grass, these flowers bloomed, leaving their extraordinary beauty in the space of an instant. They flowered in bunches, in thousands and thousands of green droplets, dancing on the thick, marble-white leaves, glinting with silvery reflections. About 10 or 10:30, the gracious petals began to wilt and curl inward, and at exactly noon, they collapsed and shrank into tiny black dots. No painter had ever captured the delicacy of this flower's art green hue. No poet has ever been able to describe its frail, this beauty.